This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
That's right, you're with Lefty Pinkos here for another week. It's Tuesday, 8 p.m. and it's Brian here with Kath.
Yes, so good to see you back, Brian.
And I've been away, I've been travelling the country, I've been absent in the Joy Studios, but I must say it's wonderful to be back here on the airwaves with a fantastic show lined up for our listeners out there. What's going on this week, Kath?
Well, we're having a particularly sort of interesting look at disability at the moment. It's a sort of political way of looking at disability and difference. And because disability is in the news so much at the moment, since the budget came down back in, when was that? It was last month?
A couple of months ago, yeah.
And we saw that our present federal government, may they get, no, I won't. We'll go there by the end of the show. Our present federal government.
Get there now, please.
Well, you know, may they only last for this term. But anyway, our present federal government are making changes that will affect people with disability in Australia in general and specific groups within that in particular. And so what's happening at the moment is that there's sort of a groundswell of, you know, opposition to that from people with disability, others, our supporters, friends, family, and so forth. And
I was just going to say, and like, I guess media, when it comes to media and hearing diverse voices, we're very dedicated to that on Lefty Pinkos, and I guess there's a media element to this tonight's show, isn't there, Kath?
There certainly is, because yesterday, June 30th, was the last day that the very well-known, very much loved ABC online site Ramp Up was killed. Axed, they call it.
And what was that? It was because of budget cuts at the ABC,
Federal government budget cuts. The position was actually funded since 2010 by Faxia, the department, and the idea was after a few years that Faxia would withdraw and that the ABC would take up the expense.
Take up the slack, yeah.
But because of the recent cuts to ABC funding under the budget, they decided not to go ahead with that. And I was there at the protest yesterday. We're going to be talking to someone who was at the protest yesterday. And you may have noticed someone nearly got arrested, but they couldn't arrest this guy. Why not? You're going to find out.
It's going to be a fantastic show here tonight. Like you said, it's good to be back on the air, but we've got some special music from one of our special guest Jeremy Hawkes, who joins us in the studio tonight.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Joy 94.9. It's Lefty Pinkos here with Kath and Brian, and we've got a fantastic show lined up tonight. We're looking at disability, we're looking at media, we're looking at rallies and protests, and we're looking to save ABC's Ramp Up.
That's coming a bit later on. This week, though, we welcome into the studio one of my, like, probably just a total hero of mine in terms of arts. Jeremy Hawkes has been an artist for decades, and he's also a queer activist, a disability activist, still doing his art. He was the poster boy, one of the poster boys for the NDIS disability care before the present government got in. We'll be talking about that a bit later. But he comes into the studio tonight, Jeremy Hawkes.
Good evening.
Hey.
Welcome, Jeremy, and apologies. I actually kind of said I was cueing David Bowie,
but that was
something completely different.
It was a rather mournful little tune, but we enjoyed it.
Yeah. It was the weepies, actually. Yeah, mournful weepies crying.
And that wasn't really what we're on about tonight, but, you know, it's just one of those little things. Hoping to come back to David Bowie at some point. But look, Jeremy, you're one of the few people I know who's, you know, worked for forever and ever as a sort of a 3D artist and actually across media. Can you talk a bit about how you started as an artist?
I think I was always an artist, really, from the word dot. Even as a small child, apparently, my mother tells me I was always getting into things and making things and just really compulsive. And, yeah, just at school it was all I ever wanted to do and was always making mud pies and making things in the backyard. And often it involved setting fire to things.
Pyromaniacal kind of edge to
And I kind of got into that later on when I discovered welding and things like that. So, yeah, I just kept studying and studying and studying, and then got to art school in Lismore on the North Coast, which I know Kath is familiar with.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And had a ball there, had a great time. That was, yeah, really good time, and was incredibly productive, strangely, which it's a hard place to be productive because it's such a nice lifestyle.
It is.
Yeah, and then...
Kickback County, yeah?
It is. The land of the lotus eaters, I call it.
Mm-hmm.
And, was lucky enough to go straight from there into a big community arts job in Brisbane and came down to Melbourne to expect Melbourne to fall at my feet, and it didn't, but... I kept going and have exhibited a lot in Melbourne and New Zealand and a few other places overseas. And it was primarily a sculptor and worked in wood and stone, did a couple of really big 6-7 ton sandstone sculptures.
Mm. Wow.
And, was injured 7 years ago now.
Huh.
And what happened there? Like, was it a part of your practice or?
No, it was that. It was a workplace injury.
Yep.
Probably can't go too much into it because it's...
sub judice at the moment, before the courts.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, yep.
Yeah. But just suffice to say I was injured and suffered a really bad spinal injury and discovered that I had a genetic condition called spinal spondylosis.
Mm-hmm.
And since then I've had a number of surgeries and... countless procedures and things like that, but the result of which is I can't do that kind of physical work anymore. So I've had to totally renegotiate my whole art practice and the way I look at art in general and the world in general. And it was kind of depressing for a while, as you can imagine.
Mm.
But, people kept telling me there's going to be a silver lining, and I kept saying, shut up. There is not. There's nothing good about this at all. But, of course, there was and there is.
Mm. And what's that silver lining? Tell us.
I think all artists have to work within certain parameters. There's always a framework, whether it be financial, physical, social. There's always, a constraint around your practice with what you do. And so mine became very definite and very defined. And so it was very easy to see, which... is a good thing because it's often the boundary is not often that clear. So what I had been doing and what was very familiar to me, I could no longer do. So this is a great challenge for someone to take away the tools of your trade that you've grown really accustomed to and say, you can't do that anymore. So now
how do you practice now? Like how's your artwork find its place now without this?
I've always done lots of drawing, but I never thought I was very good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was reinforced very kindly by my lecturers at uni who told me I was terrible. But I've done a lot of drawing and I sell nearly everything I draw now. I've had some really good success with that. And lately I've been getting into digital media, which I always had very little patience for. But because no matter what you do with it, you've still got to sit in front of a computer and it's a grey box and things like that. But I discovered that with a bit of patience, it opens up whole new worlds and it doesn't have to just be about a grey box. You can do lots and lots of different things with it. And performance using the body because, my body has changed and... very interested in the disabled or the crippled, the crip body, as a performative aspect, not just in art but also in society. And so that's a really powerful medium in itself, and that sort of can play into media, digital media or multimedia or performative media.
So
I want to do more of that and also work more and more in collaboration with people because I'm sick of being the artist in the attic, that really old model of being in the ghetto and working alone and
suffering by yourself.
Yeah. It gets really lonely and really boring, and the community model's much better.
Melbourne's got a pretty thriving community in terms of arts, but also I think disability community, for want of a better term to define it, but there's a lot of political stuff going along, a lot of artistic stuff. Do you find you've found your place here in this city now? You're bemoaning it earlier, but
I think I'm getting there. I think art's always a process, it never really stops. I don't think you ever reach a full stop, or if you have, then you should really be questioning where you've got to, really. Like, I think you've made a mistake somewhere along the way.
You're listening to Lefty Pinkos with Kath and Brian. We're talking in the studio to artist, activist, an amazing person, Jeremy Hawkes. And we're also talking tonight to someone from the ABC, Save ABC Ramp Up. That's coming up soon.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
And you're with Lefty Pinkos with Kath and Brian. That was David Bowie. Wow. Jeremy was telling us how he bought that single when he was 7.
And you saved up pocket money for that, didn't you?
20 cents a week.
And how many weeks did it take you to get that single?
6 weeks, $1.20. Yes.
And I bet you played it to death.
I did it, yep. Yep.
Was it a single or was it like an LP or
a,
what
no,
they call
it was
them?
A little
EP, singly thing.
What do they call them? Like an 8-inch or 7-inch?
Something like that.
7-inch record. Oh, God. Time flies.
They were really common then, you know, and it was a lot cheaper to buy the single than buy a whole album.
Oh, the albums were like $8.99.
Yeah, that was a commitment.
It would take me a year to save up. Yeah.
That was a commitment to get that.
What is it about Bowie that you like, though?
Oh, it was my first real love, really.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think it was the eyes, the one blue eye, the one brown eye.
See, that's right. Yeah, he's got two coloured eyes.
Well, Bowie is God. I'm sorry. This week, we saw the end of an institution, I think, for all Australians with disabilities. It was, the plug was pulled on ABC Ramp Up. In just a moment, we're going to be talking to Madeline Sobb, who was at the rally yesterday. But I'd just like to ask our guest, Jeremy. Jeremy, did you ever access Ramp Up? Do you have any feelings about it yourself?
Yes, I did access it constantly. I'm sort of still speechless. I can't really believe it's actually gone ahead and happened. I thought there'd be a last minute reprieve. I really am still quite shocked. Being kind of new to the disability community, I really only started accessing it a year ago and just found it incredible and was really, really just starting to really use it and starting to participate, to start to write for it myself and finding what an amazing resource it was. And yeah, I really am, I think, just really shocked.
I guess for the context of our listeners too, who may not have heard of Ramp Up, it's like a disability forum or online resource that the ABC ran, and it sort of had news items, guests, sort of
features, arts, culture, and it also drew on stories coming out elsewhere in the ABC, in Australia mainly, but around the world as well. There were guest pieces, people coming into town from overseas would feature there as well. Yep. Stella Young, the editor used to have like quite a strong, kind of like a editorial, kind of opinion pieces were actually one of the strengths of it as well, just, you know, reflecting on disability and life.
Did it get into politics? Was it like a political thing?
It's all political, Brian.
Yeah, hyper-political?
Put a disabled person there saying, hello, I'm a disabled person and I have a story to tell, and it is political before the person's even finished the sentence.
Yeah. What sort of stuff did you contribute, Jeremy?
I never got chance to contribute.
Okay.
I've written for other disability online journals and magazines, but not for that one because I was really impressed by the high standard of the discourse on there, and so it was really sort of working up, taking my baby steps to wanting to put my toe in the water with that one.
But surely, Kath, you've contributed to Ramp Up.
Oh, yes, I did.
What sort of stuff have you contributed?
Well, I actually wrote two pieces in the end. One was about sex and disability fetish.
Yeah.
Gee, I don't know where that came from. And,
wow, what a surprise.
Yeah, funny about that. And the other one was actually a profile piece on UK actor, writer, producer, Julie McNamara. Who we did have in as a Lefty Pinko's guest.
Yeah.
And that was a really lovely piece.
It
as
was
well.
A beautiful piece.
I was about to write another one, but when the deadline came up, I just thought, no, I'm just not going to get it together before June 30. Mm-hmm. Now, yesterday, outside the ABC offices in Melbourne, I attended, and there were probably 20 or so disabled people there, a rally which was called Save ABC Ramp Up. And one of the organisers and key spokespeople from the rally yesterday is on the line right now. Hi, Madeline.
Hi, Kat. How are you going?
Very well.
Hey, Madeline. Thanks for joining us here.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Madeline, can you give us sort of a bit of a visual picture about what happened yesterday?
Well, it was quite a hilarious scene, actually. So, yes, as you said, there was about 30 of us all up, I think. A few of us got there kind of early and started to sort of sit inside the foyer of the ABC building, and I think the staff were starting to become a bit worried about what we were doing there and asking us to move out of the way and let staff go past and that kind of thing. And then shortly after, things got underway and we began chanting and making lots of noise and had quite a lot of media there, which was fantastic. Got quite a lot of coverage in print and in TV news.
Yep.
That was really great.
Now, Madeline, why did you feel the need to get down there to the rally?
I think that Ramp Up has been a really wonderful way for people with disabilities to tell their own stories in the media in a way that they want their story to be told. Because often people with disabilities are not...
are spoken for, perhaps, or... Yeah.
Yeah. They're not representative in a positive light in the media most of the time. So this was a good way to have people to be able to tell their own story and have healthy discussion and debate on lots of different issues and also just to educate the wider community about disability issues.
And how did you use Ramp Up? Because there's like political reasons. Kath used some for sexual reasons, or talking about that stuff. Jerry may have taken a bit of an artistic angle. Why did you tune in or patch into Ramp Up?
Okay, so I'm a university student, mm-hmm. and I'm in my final year of a health science degree in disability studies.
Huh.
And in 2011, so that was my first year at uni. We were told that our degree was going to be discontinued, and so I was one of the representatives for the student action group then, and Stella approached me and asked me to write a piece to Ramp Up about why the degree was important and why people with disabilities should have qualified professionals in the field.
Good one.
So that was sort of my introduction to Ramp Up, but I continually use other people's pieces to educate people around me about issues that I feel strongly about as well.
Did you win that fight with the disability degree?
Not really, no.
Oh.
Our class will be the last graduates from the degree. Yeah, and that was the last disability-specific degree in Australia, so everywhere else had been discontinued as well. There was another one running in Adelaide, and it's gone. But probably the only positive thing is that RMIT are still running a double degree in disability and education.
Mm-hmm. Well, the news just gets worse, Madeline.
Can you give us some hope from the rally? I mean, it looked like they've axed it, but I mean, do you think there's a sense out there, Madeline, of maybe the protest was successful, or you know, stressed to the ABC the importance of having this forum for people with a disability?
It's really hard to tell in terms of. I quite understand their point in terms of the fact that they say that they're going to integrate, disability into
content,
media across the ABC, but there actually needs to be a solid plan for that.
Yep.
And so you fellas have to go fishing around for that content, do you? Is that what they're saying, perhaps? Or,
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's all housed beautifully in Ramp Up,
yeah,
and then you've got this wonderful forum. Yeah.
And, I mean, they're continuing to employ Stella Young, which they'd be crazy not to.
Yeah.
So that's fantastic. And she's going to be continuing to write for The Drum and do 4 weeks of television a year, as I understand it. But she's only one voice as well, so it's going to be a matter of making sure that the, you know, continued varied representation happens across the media for people with disabilities.
Thanks for speaking to us, Madeline.
And you've got a Facebook page. We'll give it a plug, though. If people want to get behind the campaign, you can go to Save the ABC. Just do a bit of a search
ABC Ramp Up.
The ABC's got to be in existence. But, yes, Save
ABC Ramp Up
is the Facebook page. Do a search for it.
Yep. And people can come and like the page. And all the media attention that we had yesterday is all up there as well. So
Fantastic.
Yep.
Thanks for talking to us, Madeline.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Cheers.
Bye.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Yeah, that was a track chosen by Jeremy, our special guest in here tonight on Lefty Pinkos.
Which makes us cry, that track. We're just having the most cryptastic time tonight in the Lefty Pinkos studio here on Joy with Jeremy Hawkes. Jeremy.
Good evening.
Now, Jeremy, you were telling us a fascinating story about how when you were in Queensland, it was considered sick to be gay.
And it was a mental illness.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Yeah, when I was trying to move down to, I hope no one from Centrelink is listening to this.
anyway.
Moving down to Lismore in order to go to art school, and I'd been living in Brisbane, and this was the late 80s, early 90s. And moving from Brisbane to Lismore, it was an area of higher unemployment, so they would have cut me off unemployment benefits. But at the time, it was considered a mental illness to be gay in Queensland, so I was able to get on sickness benefits for being gay for 3 months.
Thanks, moved Queensland down, government.
Yeah, moved down to Lismore and get...
That's a sweet thing, isn't it, really?
Who was in office at the time? Like, Newman's up there now, but who was,
God,
do you remember?
Late 80s, early 90s.
Was it Joe?
It was just after Joe.
Oh, okay, so post-Joe.
Yeah, I forget.
That red-headed guy, wasn't it? That guy? Oh, no, that, maybe that was later.
Jeez.
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, Queensland does straddle a different time zone.
It does.
Just on that, I wanted to ask you, how does your sort of gayness intersect with your art? Or doesn't it? Does it? Should it?
It's an interesting question. I'm someone, since, I don't know, I was about 17, I identify as queer rather than gay. I'm not a very happy person anyway. I get more and more cranky as I get older, like a lot of people. But I've also got a better sense of humour. I don't know if it ever really has. I think I always identified first and foremost as an artist and then queer. But I think since becoming disabled, that's really made me rethink it, just in terms of, you know, belonging to, you know, thinking more about horizontal communities, you know, sort of, I definitely feel like I belong to a disability community. And so it has made me rethink about belonging to the queer community and how that, you know, cross-informs my identity and how that affects art practice. So I think I'm in a bit of a rethink about that at the moment. But previously, I must admit, it hasn't really had a lot to do with it. Though I have done specific artworks and explored themes about sexuality and queer identity and the body. I've always been a big one for the body. Bodily otherness and things like that. But I can't say that it really, really, really has, you know, been a big issue for me.
Has that intersected with your disability, though, like the body stuff, or has that come out more in your art or your practice?
Yeah, it has of late, definitely. Yeah,
and tell us a bit about that.
That last exhibition of Jeremy's at that weird place.
No, the Knight Street art space. Community run art space in Queensland.
Wow, you really mind your internal landscape. So that one, maybe you can tell us a bit about some of those works.
Yeah, that was a real... That was a new one for me. That was all two-dimensional work, and that was really exploring. I've been diagnosed with Parkinsonism, which is kind of like, you know, they're a bit shy about telling me I've got Parkinson's because it's notoriously hard to diagnose.
What is that? Can you describe that? Like what?
It's a neurological disease that it's sort of like the breakdown of your
cognitive abilities.
Your neocortex to control your motor skills.
Oh.
So it's basically there's a part of your brain called the substantia nigra, black substance, and it controls the amount of dopamine that your brain produces. So over time, your brain stops producing dopamine.
Yep.
Dopamine controls your mood and your ability to move. And I'm wearing this thing on my wrist at the moment, which is one of the first 20 people in the world, which is tracking the movements, the tremors in my body.
Wow.
Yeah, it's quite space-agey, even though it looks like an old Bakelite watch. So Yeah, that artwork was MRIs taken from my brain and various mm-hmm. parts of my spine that I'd manipulated through Photoshop. And then I didn't want to just sort of show these kind of X-ray images and then that was it. So I manipulated them in Photoshop, then blew them up and then painted onto them and then wrote on them and then re-photographed them and then redid the process over again. Mm. So I kind of wanted to reclaim this, this process of pathologizing my own body that mm-hmm. you kind of feel like when you go through these medical procedures, you sort of start to feel like you don't own your own body, and these specialists tell you more about your own condition or your own illness. You sort of start to feel like you become an illness rather than an identity. So it's a yes. way to claim back your identity as opposed to being in a pathology. And I guess in a way for me, it's a way of ritualizing that to sort of reclaim it. Mm-hmm. In a similar way that for me many years ago, I was I have a lot of tattoos, and that for me that was a way to reclaim my body.
Yep.
So this is a way of sort of, I guess, internally marking my own body.
Mm-hmm.
And, initially it felt like it was my body in revolt of me, it was something that was happening to my body and I didn't have any control over it.
Yep.
But now I'm actually finding it really fascinating that, my right arm has a mind of its own.
Mm-hmm.
And
in what way? Like as in, it just draws when it wants to?
It does. It moves around and does things on its own. And so when it comes to drawing, it's actually a much freer drawer. Wow. Then I would be if I was in control of it. Its mark making is a lot more gestural, and if I go off my medication and I'll give it free rein, it's quite an amazing drawer compared to my left hand. And so I've done.
Are you naturally right-handed or left-handed?
I am right-handed.
Okay, yeah.
So I do this performance piece where I go off my medication. I call it the butterfly effect, and I stand in front of a big bit of paper or a wall and put my hands up and try and draw left hand, right hand symmetrically.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. My right hand goes off and goes on this wild dance and does its own thing. But you try, and it looks like two halves of the brain, but they're completely different. So it's kind of quite crazy. So I kind of quite, instead of it being a bad thing, I'm starting to see it as sort of like it's a bit of a ghost in the machine, but it's my own ghost.
Wow.
In a way, and I'm starting to enjoy it.
Run with it, yeah.
Yeah.
You're tuned into Joy 94.9. It's Brian and Kath here with Lefty Pinkos, and we're chatting to Jeremy Hawkes about his artwork. We'll be back to chat some more after these announcements.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're listening to Lefty Pinkos here on Joy 94.9. It's Kath and Brian.
Yeah.
And we're chatting to Jeremy Hawkes. And he's been talking about his art, about Ramp Up and why he's passionate about it and why he wants to save it. But, there's an interesting... You're actually a poster boy.
Yeah, pin-up boy for the NDIS Disability Care Campaign.
I was a year ago. It was about a year ago. Yeah.
Now, look, everyone fought for these jobs because, and this is like a political thing in itself too, it was extraordinary to see this call out for disabled performers. How often have you seen that? Like, hardly ever. And so we all competed for these roles, and Jeremy was one of the people. And it was really quite funny. If you read through the roles, I remember because, of course, I was looking for the amputee one. They were a male amputee between this and that age. And I said, well, I'm female. That's only a slight problem. They went with the male, whatever. But Jeremy got... one of the roles in that series of ads. And I believe when they were setting you up for the ad, they were sort of doing your makeup and saying, oh, wow, you look kind of too normal. You look normal. Can you tell us a bit about that?
I think initially they wanted an Indigenous female person with Parkinson's.
Oh.
So they got me instead.
That's so specific. It's like
I know.
Like hyper specific.
Yeah. And it was the day before the casting, and I think I saw Kath had posted on Facebook, and I went, well, I'll give it a go. and went along to the casting, and I was neither female nor Indigenous, but I did have Parkinson's. And they cast me, and I went along to the shoot, and never done anything like that before. And as I mentioned before, I've got quite a few tattoos, and they were doing my makeup and doing their best to make me look like Bert Newton or Ray Martin. There was a lot of bronzer going on. And yeah, the makeup girl was saying, so, like, what's wrong with you? You look so normal. And then I think she sort of paused and went, I could see her sort of her brain ticking over going,
catching up with her mouth.
Yeah. He must be mentally ill. Oh. And so she didn't sort of pursue that line of questioning any further, because if he looks normal and he's not visibly disabled, then he must be mentally ill, and I shouldn't follow that questioning.
Do you find it's a bit, that's a bit of a battle, like kind of justifying your disability when it's not apparent, or for a better word?
There's that whole visibility, visibility kind of issue that went on, and that became really apparent through that ad. Mm-hmm. And because I'm quite new to the, disability community, it was really, really such an interesting experience in that, a few months later, there I was in everyone's TV screen across Australia. And I told very few people. I didn't tell my parents. I didn't tell anyone.
And how did people respond to it? Like, was it good, bad, ugly?
Everything in between. Yeah.
What was it? 20,000 hits in
24 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, on Facebook. And that was comments. Yeah. Yep.
The comments. Wow.
Yeah, ranging from the obscene to the ridiculously complimentary.
yes. And people. Requests for numbers and stuff, yep.
Yeah, people really felt they had a right to know all about me. You know, was I gay? Was I straight? You know, was I single? Who the hell was I? What was my disability? How old was I? Where did I grow up? And then all these people claimed to know me, and I didn't know who they were.
Wow.
And then some people who did know me were giving out really personal information about me. And I was just watching it all unfold on Facebook, you know, because I could.
Mm.
The head office in Canberra rang me saying, are you okay? Do you want us to take it down? And I was just laughing. Going, this is hilarious. No, by all means, keep it up. And I really thought long and hard about before answering anything. And I did in the end, but I was very, very careful about what I said. And I ended up writing an article for a magazine in response about that called, the campaign was Disability Cares Australia, and I called it Disability Stares.
That's right.
Objectification, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Because people were stopping me in the street for a while and sort of accusing me about being, sort of like as if I was personally responsible for the NDIS and everything that was wrong with it.
yes.
Which is interesting in itself, because... You know, I certainly am no apologist for it or a representative for it. Mm-hmm. I just took the money.
Yeah, like it was an opportunity to be involved with something.
Yeah, because as Kaz said, it's very unusual for there to be a casting
call.
For
that opportunity.
Yeah, which was good of them.
Well, look, we could carry on ranting forever, but we can't. Jeremy Hawkes, thank you so much for coming in for this week's Lefty Pinkos.
It's been great having you in.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
Oh, that
it's
was
been fun.
Absolutely fabulous. I believe next week it's a NAIDOC special.
We're going to be looking at NAIDOC week next week. It's the National Aboriginal Islander Day Observance Committee. That's what it stands for. It started out as a day, but it's actually we're celebrating the whole week. So we'll be talking black here on Lefty Pinkos on Joy 94.9. Tune in next Tuesday at 8 p.m.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.